Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to the Australia Day show of the Cubby House podcast. This show will be looking through the glorious year that was 2009. The gags, the spills, and the content that has previously been unreleased. We've got our favourite scripts and also outtakes from our sister podcast, The Cubs Out Loud, when they made mention of us a few times as well. But let's kick off the show with a montage of guests when they had to speak our oath and pledge to the podcast.
Hi Jeff, do swear on this 100% Beef magazine.
I, Derek, do swear on this item of gay paraphernalia being the Behrman 2009 wall calendar.
I, Dina Curie, do swear on this book that, of...
No, it's called Firsthand, The Erotic Guide to Fisting.
I'll just put my hand in an interesting spot.
I'm wearing leather, it's close enough. I, Mike, do swear on this piece of leather, I'll maintain the integrity, or lack thereof, which is more likely, of the Cubby House podcast.
I promise to maintain the Cubby House values that
my tummy will be full,
my play will be adventurous,
and my attitude welcoming and inclusive.
I promise to make no stupid double entendres, so there goes my conversation.
Or Family Guy or Simpsons references.
If I should fail, I am prepared to be flogged, flagged, and face the punishment accordingly.
Thank you.
Welcome to the family.
Woohoo! Help me. Logged A. Freudian slip A.
Leave my mind out of this.
Now here's a story written and produced by a friend of the podcast, Simon Papson, with his tale of Blondie Twink.
Blondie Twink and the Three Bears by Simon Papson.
Once upon a time, children, there was a young man living in a faraway land. It was a magical place, filled with pretty fairies and wicked queens and lovely rainbows. This young man was happy and gay and very, very friendly. He was so friendly, children, that he would kiss and hug everyone he met. And he was so fair of face that people were happy to see him and to look upon him. Everyone in his village of Paran would talk about him. "There he goes," they would say, "that happy and gay young man who brings joy to everyone he meets." And they would comment on how young he was, and how smooth of skin, which they believed was so smooth that it was like magic, and how fair his hair, again, like magic. He was so young and smooth and fair that he was called Blondie Twink by all those around him. One day, young Blondie Twink decided to visit his two grandmothers. They lived together in a faraway town near a fair field. To get there, he had to travel north from his village, across a wide river, and through a large wood. Young Blondie Twink was very scared of travelling through this wood. He had heard that it was filled with many large and evil beasts. In fact, because of all these beasts who would call out to passing strangers, enticing them to stop and visit by offering them gifts and food and drink, like sausage sizzles and cheap beer, the wood was known as the Calling Wood. But he did very much want to see his grandmothers and deliver them a basket of treats that he had bought. He had candles and incense and some herbs and potions that he thought would make them very happy indeed. One fine afternoon, Blondie Twink set out on his journey alone. After he had crossed the mighty river over a wide bridge, avoiding any trolls that lingered in the area, he found himself nearing the Calling Wood. It was dark and frightening for young Blondie Twink, but he kept going. As he entered the wood, he heard someone call out to him. He looked around and saw a wolf waving at him from behind a small hut near the road, so that it was convenient for travellers who wanted to stop for some refreshment. The wolf stopped him and asked if he'd seen a young girl wearing a red hooded coat, but Blondie Twink said he hadn't. The wolf asked Blondie Twink what he was doing in the Calling Wood, and Blondie Twink told him, "I'm going to see my grandmothers near the fair field and bring them this basket of treats." The wolf said to Blondie Twink, "You should be careful, such a small and pretty young thing, wandering through this wood alone. Someone might want to eat you up." The wolf then continued, talking as if to himself, "I do so like fresh meat." When he heard this, Blondie Twink became very frightened and ran away from the wolf, leaving him there at the roadside convenience. The wolf went on about his business, which ended up with him getting into women's clothing and trying to trick a young girl to get into bed with him. But that's another story, children, to be told another time. Blondie Twink continued on into the Calling Wood through the afternoon. And after a long while, Blondie Twink noticed two things. Firstly, he noticed that the shadows about him were getting longer and darker. It would be night soon. Secondly, he realized that he didn't know where he was. He had been busily admiring the passing scenery in the wood and noticing the wildlife around him, especially near the roadside conveniences, and had lost his way. Well, this scared Blondie Twink very much, children. Lost and alone in the Calling Wood, far from his home village, and believing that there were large and nasty beasts all around him, Blondie Twink became very frightened indeed. He decided to find himself a place to stop for the night. He would then continue his journey in the morning, refreshed and less scared. So, Blondie Twink looked about for a place to stop, and soon he found an inn. He went inside this inn and was amazed at what he saw, or at least the glimpses that he could get through the darkness and the smoke that filled the place. There were a lot of people and beasts inside this inn, including slinky foxes and brightly plumed peacocks, and many of them were dancing. They were dancing to some very loud music that was playing, and there were lights flashing everywhere. Blondie Twink even wondered if there might be some magic potions at work here, as there were so many people dancing so hard for so long. Being the friendly type that he was, Blondie Twink wanted to talk to some of these people. However, he could not make himself heard over the music. Also, many of the people seemed to ignore him as beneath their regard. As he continued to wander through this inn, he also noticed that it was very warm inside this place. There were so many people inside, and they were dancing so hard, and there was so little air, that there was a lot of heat building up. It was so warm that he was even tempted to peel off his clothing. But after a while, Blondie Twink decided to leave and find somewhere else. As he said to himself, that place was too hot. And so, young Blondie Twink set out to find another place to stop for the night. A short distance up the road, he found another establishment. When he went inside, he noticed that this place seemed very different to the inn that he had just left. It was well lit, and bigger and brighter. Also, as he wandered through this establishment, he noticed that it was very wet. There was a lot of water available to refresh weary people and beasts. He noticed lumbering hippopotamuses and predatory chicken hawks among them. There were many such people walking around this big place, but they were all ignoring each other. No one was talking or seemed to be enjoying themselves at all. This was all very frustrating to Blondie Twink, who so wanted to be friendly to someone. But as he walked past the shiny walls and over the hard floors, he could not seem to find any enjoyment here. So he decided to leave this place as well and keep looking. And he said to himself as he was leaving, that place was too cold. By now, young Blondie Twink was quite weary. He had been travelling for a long while, and he was scared from being lost in the Calling Wood, and he was feeling lonely and in need of refreshment. And lo, just when he had about given up, he found a tavern. He went in, and was pleased with what he saw. There was music, but it was not too loud. There was no water, but there was ale. And the people and beasts inside this tavern appeared to be talking to each other and partaking of the ale and enjoying themselves and each other. In fact, it seemed to be the lord of all taverns. Blondie Twink exclaimed happily, "This place is just right!" And he stayed. After Blondie Twink had been at this tavern for a while and had a chance to rest himself and try some of the local ale, he was feeling a lot better. Then he noticed that there was a group of bears in the corner of the tavern who were looking at him with much interest. At first, Blondy Twink was scared. He had heard about the frightful bears in the Calling Wood. But then he realized that their interest was friendly and not threatening. In fact, one of the bears was smiling at him. So he smiled back. And after a while, the bears beckoned to him to go over and join them, which he did. When he had joined their group, the bear who had smiled at him introduced himself as Papa Bear.
"And this is my lifetime companion, Daddy Bear."
Blondy Twink was very pleased to meet them. They didn't seem scary at all close up. They were big and furry, yes, and they did dress in rougher and different vestments than he was accustomed to, but they seemed very friendly. Then Papa Bear introduced the third member of their group.
"This is our little Baby Bear."
Baby Bear was younger than Papa Bear and Daddy Bear. In fact, he seemed almost like a cub compared to those two. Blondy Twink was happy to spend the rest of the evening in the company of these three bears. So happy indeed that when the end of the evening came and the bears offered to take Blondy Twink back to their cave for the night, he readily accepted. Here, he thought, was a chance to be friendly with someone at last. When they got back to the bear's cave, there was a problem. No one could decide where Blondy Twink should sleep. The three bears started to argue among themselves, and Blondy Twink was a little bit scared at the growling and the roaring. But then he realized that they were fighting about who among them could be the friendliest to him, and he wasn't scared any more, children. Blondy Twink decided to show all of them how happy he was that they were trying to be friendly with him. So he went to Daddy Bear and gave him a great big hug. And Daddy Bear hugged back with his strong arms and big paws, drawing Blondy Twink tight against his muscled torso. And Blondy Twink thought to himself, "This one is too hard." And he went on to Papa Bear and gave him a great big hug too. And Papa Bear hugged him with his soft and warm arms, and held Blondy Twink next to his padded body. And Blondy Twink thought, "This one is too soft." Then Baby Bear cried out that it was his turn now, and he gave Blondy Twink a great big hug. And Blondy Twink hugged him back, and felt his warm body and soft fur, and looked into Baby Bear's warm eyes, and thought, "This one is just right." And you know what, children? Blondy Twink was right, so he stayed there for a very long time. In fact, he's still there now.
Our sister podcast, Cubs Out Loud, produced in Austin, Texas, have occasionally made reference to us here at the Cubby House, so here's a few excerpts from their archives.
Speaking of fetishes, I have a poppers warning. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't mean poppers. I have a video head cleaner.
Oh, my.
Warning. I found myself in need of some VCR head cleaning the other day as my cleaner had run out. And so I went out to the local video head cleaning store for some room motorizer and video head cleaner. And so the guy tried to sell me this stuff called Maximum Impact, which is like a spray video head cleaner. And I'm thinking, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of how you use video head cleaner, because, of course, you're supposed to dispense it directly from the bottle. So I get home and I find out that and I Google this stuff, Maximum Impact, and apparently it is not true video head cleaner at all. And this is kind of actually pretty funny, because as I'm mentioning video head cleaner, the Cubby House popped online on Skype. And for some reason, that just amuses the fuck out of me. I and no doubt Cookie will be online inside the chat room pretty soon.
And something about head cleaner will come about.
Exactly. I mean, if anybody knows how to clean some VCR heads, it's him. So the point is, this Maximum Impact stuff is not the traditional amyl nitrate, isobutyl nitrate, all that kind of good video head cleaning stuff. It is actually a different chemical that has killed a few people, including one, and I'll put a link in the show notes. A guy in the University of Louisiana, actually, interestingly enough, I think he overdid it. He was found with like 2.5 bottles of the stuff next to him with a rag stuffed in his mouth, and he died. But apparently the stuff is really, really nasty. So I would suggest that if you do need your heads clean because your VCR is dirty, you may want to go ahead and stay away from the Maximum Impact, because after doing a bunch of research, pretty much everyone has agreed that shit nasty, dude. Don't do it. So that's your video head cleaning warning.
Have you ever been to Folsom, Jeff?
I have not.
I challenge you.
Maybe next year, all of us. Maybe next year, all of us can go to Folsom. I think it would be fun.
Good luck with that.
I think it would be fun to watch JJ at Folsom. I do believe his little head would explode.
We go running away.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
drag him along with the leash.
I think that's part of the point of Folsom.
Yeah, I think we would put you and JJ in harnesses to drag you along, because I don't think you'd enjoy
have to drag necessarily either.
I would just we'd have to put Jeff in a cage and JJ in like horse drag or something.
Are you saying that I'd be scared of what would happen at Folsom?
I'm sure you would be, baby.
I would not.
I'm sure you would be.
I totally would not. Look, I would go if I had interest. I mean, if you were going, said, Jeff, you're going. We want to go. I would go willingly. I would not go running away screaming or anything. I'm just not interested in this shit.
We'll see about that.
And unfortunately, that's a terrible pun. Hey, speaking of fetishes, kids, would you like to be a guest on Cubs Out Loud? Because I would love to talk fetishes, but no offense to any of the three of you, I don't think that you would be the folks to talk fetishes with. Am I correct?
Very true.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd certainly be willing to participate in such a conversation. I don't know how active I would be in it, but I would certainly be fascinated by it.
Our sister podcast, the Cubby House over out of Melbourne, Australia, recently had a guy on that was talking about piercings, and he was also in a triad and whatnot. And I think it would be kind of interesting to have some people on the show. So again, podcast at cubsoutloud.com for that. I'm telling you, it's a fun time. Folsom is a fun time. I really wish I had gone.
I was saying Ryan Cubs a very bad boy because he doesn't listen to the Cubs Out Loud every week, and he better start listening. I don't want to have to come down to Melbourne and discipline you like I should.
Said something about balls before.
Balls. Maybe like he should lick my balls. Yeah, you want that, don't you, boy? Get down there and lick my fucking balls now.
Are we done now? Can I stop recording?
Oh my god, yeah, seriously, that was just so embarrassing. I mean, that's just not me.
Has that actually gone out to the general public?
Maybe you should do a response to that.
I will gladly do a response to that. That is hilarious. Oh my god.
One of the most heavily produced scripts that we made over the year was Cubs in Space, needing over 15 different raw sound effects strung throughout the piece. It's one of the most memorable works of editing to date by me, so here it is again to enjoy in its soundscape. Welcome to the Cubby House this week.
Today we're going to talk about...
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Come on. I can't believe it's 2009 and we're already out of ideas.
I know. Let's go into outer space.
Of course.
No, there is no way that I'm taking part in some stupid sci-fi parody. Okay, no freaking way. I'm staying on the ground where it's safe and there's absolutely no way that you can convince me to take part.
Ryan.
What?
We'll let you be captain.
Okay, let's do it. Captain's Log, Earth Day, 8th of January, 2000X. On this day, we venture where no bear podcast has gone before. The Cubby House has gone into space. Luckily, Cookie had the Dungeon Studios retrofitted for space exploration for such an event. Today, I had been promoted to Captain. Jack and Cookie have to call me Sir and do whatever I say. I think I'll like this role.
Jack, press the red button.
What red button?
You know, the big red button, the one in the middle of the room.
How come I never noticed that before this sketch?
Now hold on, Jack. I'm the captain, and I choose when to push the button, okay? Can you push the button, Jack?
Oh, sure. Yes, sir.
Good evening, passengers.
What the hell is this?
It's part of the ship's software.
Thank you for flying on the Cubby Moto 1200. Please pay attention to the following safety instructions. even if you fly with us often. Firstly, make sure your seatbelt is properly tightened and situated carefully on your person. You'll know that your seatbelt is incorrectly if you hear a click. Secondly, please ensure your baggage is either under your seat or safely secured in the proper compartment. In the event of explosive decompression of the cabin, there are spacesuits in the compartment to the right. Please make sure that you fit your own suit before attending to other passengers or children. Your spacesuit comes equipped with 2 hours' worth of oxygen, a flashlight, a radiation shield, and a whistle. Please be aware of all the exits on board. There may be one right behind you. Not that it really matters. If anything goes wrong, you're fucked. We'll be commencing launch in just a moment. In the meantime, please sit back and relax, and thank you for flying on the Cubbymoto 1200.
Hey, this music's kind of catchy.
Commencing countdown. Engines on.
9, 8.
Check ignition, and may God's love be with you.
3, 2, 1.
Hold on, everyone. This is going to be a rough ride.
Welcome to space. The local temperature is 2.7 Kelvin.
I'm floating. Dude, Jack, this is awesome. Give me a readout.
Yes, sir. Oxygen, 100%. 3 tons, frozen. Food supply, 100%. 2 tons, frozen. 2 dehydrated. Lubricant supply, 5 tons.
We should have packed more.
Defensive shield, 5 watts. Fuel supply, 1,200.
1,200 what?
Hell if I know. Oh! We seem to have a small problem. There seems to be a problem with the structural integrity of the hull. 80%. 77%. 44%. Captain, this is a serious problem. 22%. Captain!
What? What was that? Sorry, I was too busy getting into this emergency suit. What were you talking about?
I'm having some trouble with my suit. Can you zip me up?
You guys, where's the last suit? There's supposed to be 3 suits. All I see are 2. And what the hell is this? Cookie, a bear costume?
I can only afford 2 spacesuits. Where do you think we are, Beetalk? Besides, it is my dungeon.
2%.
Oh no, here comes a vacuum of space!
Ah! My eyes! My eyes! They hurt so much!
Oh, let's prop your eyes imploding.
Try and relax, Jack. Just breathe in, okay? No, you're doing it all wrong, okay? Just breathe in, alright? Like me, like this.
Jack, your head!
What happened?
It appears that the debris from your skull and brain has frozen on impact with the side of the hull, creating a plug. It doesn't look like it'll hold for very long.
Do we have any sealant?
No, sir.
What have we got?
Lubricant. Lots and lots of lubricant.
I think I've got an idea. Come with me to the galley.
With all due respect, sir, I don't think now is an appropriate time.
No, you idiot. Do you have any cornstarch?
What are you doing?
I'm making my own sealant. 1 pot of water and 1 tub of cornstarch. Give it some heat, and then we're done. And that's really thick. Cookie, take this and apply this over the plug in the cabin.
Who would have thought that a personal lubricant would actually end up saving us from a hole of infinite depth and zero pressure?
Captain's log, with our hole in the hull sealed, we are free to breathe and watch X-Tube, and with Jack dead, our listenership went way up. Unfortunately, because of the ship's compromised structural integrity, we cannot make the voyage back to Earth without burning up on re-entry. And one thing is for sure, I hate science fiction.
Now it's time for the bloopers and the way off tangents that we've collected over the year.
I don't know. Virginity isn't all that important. By the time they got rid of it, you just kind of realise just how unimportant it was all along.
Yeah, I think it's one of those high-held traditions that it's just a title now. There's not a lot to it.
Unless you're Greek. and a woman.
True. I worry about people that have only ever had sex with one person. Oh, actually, okay, I just want to just jump into this. I watched this show. There's a show on Foxtel called The Duggars, and they're a family, and they're... I'm trying to think what religion they are, where they're all self-supportive, and they make their own soap, and the mother is having her 15th child at the moment, and the son got married, and there was this whole wedding thing, which I watched with my friend. But he and his girlfriend had never even kissed. The only sign of affection they had was holding hands. But every date they went on, they had to be chaperoned. Their first kiss was on their wedding day with everyone there.
Oh, how platonic.
It was the most awkward-looking kiss I've ever seen in my life, and all I kept thinking is, that is going to be like the worst wedding night ever.
Yeah. You have no idea what you're doing. I think I'm supposed to put it there.
It was an awkward... But that's the whole thing. Like, if you're just saving yourself for one person and one moment and one thing, what if it's not right?
Well, that's what I kind of figure, that most people's first times are going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
Hell, just look at the Sex and the City movie. That was what that was all played out to be.
What, were you saying that herself. Was disappointing? Or
no, but the perfect wedding turned out to be the one that she was stood up at.
Yeah.
Yet, when she actually got married, it was nice, simple, and uncomplicated.
But it's just... But I'm assuming the kind of people that are saving themselves for marriage are only going to be with that one person forever. Like, what if they don't know how to fuck? That kind of stuff doesn't wash off. Like, that is going to drive you crazy for the rest of your life.
And then you're in that contract with that ring around your finger.
You're locked in.
You're never going to know unless you happen to go to a website dedicated to... Let's move on.
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
Hello,
my phone
Julian.
Is just
hang on a sec.
You there?
Cookie, what were you doing calling me?
Was I just calling you? What?
Yes. All right, Julian, sorry. We've got some pretty exciting news. Are you standing up right now?
Yep.
Then you'd better take a seat.
Okay, cool.
Okay, here's our exciting news. You have half won our Southern Hibernation People's Choice Award, which is completely unofficial. So you're sharing the title with Jason, actually. So we'll send half a trophy your way and maybe half a certificate.
Half a trophy?
Yes.
What happened to Jason getting the other half?
We'll get our buzzsaw out because we only really pre-ordered one trophy, so...
I'll
settle for a little bottle of Amel and half a glass of champagne.
So, do you want the top half? Do you want me to split it top-wise or side to side? Because...
I've always enjoyed a bottom half, so yeah, perhaps the bottom half will do me just good.
All right, we'll all send you an email after the program so we can get the details to send it out to you, and maybe Ryan could tag along as well. I think he showed an interest in you.
Will that be the bottom half?
You can have the whole thing if you want.
Awesome.
That's something that Jason doesn't get. It's compensation. He gets the sash and you get Ryan.
Oh, no, I want the fucking sash. I want the sash.
Oh, gee, thanks.
He can have the trophy, I just want the sash.
All right. Will everybody please turn off their mobile phones during recording?
Definitely. Thanks a lot for that, Julian.
That's all right, man. Have a good one, boys.
You too, buddy. You too.
Bye.
Let's all have our phones on silence now. Yes. Silence, yes.
It's like the loudest turn-off sound ever. Vented themselves about as many times.
Do you know what I love about Barbie? When they did the whole, the 12 dancing princesses or whatever it was, you got to buy the 12 dolls and the prince, and the prince came with all the women's shoes. And I was like, wow, you couldn't get any gayer than that.
Are we performing a sound check?
No, you haven't. Oh.
Some people do it for compassion.
Some people do it for the fashion.
Some people do it to be funny.
Some people do it for the money.
Some people do it for enslavement.
Some people do it on the pavement. But...
We're gonna do it anyhow. We're gonna do it no matter how the wind is blowing. We're gonna do it anyhow. We're gonna do it. We just gotta keep going. I forget the next line.
Some people do it for each other.
Some people do it for the lover.
Some people do it for the movement.
Some people do it for improvement. Some people do it for enjoyment.
Some people do it for employment.
But
We're gonna do it anyhow. We're gonna do it no matter how the wind is blowing.
We're gonna do it anyhow.
We're gonna do it. We just gotta keep going.
Denton, you've got no pretension.
Yeah, I had a Brad moment then.
All right, I think we're done.
Yeah.
I feel warmed up
I
now.
I think we're testy.
Let's get cracking.
What episode is this? 17.
18.
Woo!
We're now legal.
Oh, God.
Wow. You are 17, going on 18. Fellows will fall in line. Better beware, be canny and careful. Wait. Okay, the sound of music is not my forte.
Yeah, thank fuck for that. Yeah. I was about to say, who sings that song?
I don't think I've actually been able to sit through the entire movie all the way through.
You fucked up my line. It's supposed to be, who sings that song? Julie Andrews. Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Totally unprepared are we to face the world so of men.
What?
No, I said it was the daughter who sang
that. Oh, yeah. What's her name? Liesl.
I don't know names, but I've seen that bit where
she's... I've had enough. I'm officially ready to give you your gay card. It's your green card.
It lets you see other musicals without being questioned. Wicked? No, I'm sorry. You need a green card. Oh, hello. Please come in. Cookie has numerous green cards.
Yes. One of them even red.
Okay. Who wants to start off this episode with energy abound?
I opened last time, so...
I just did open your tweet.
Oh, okay.
But wait, there's more. How about the quick one-liners? You know, the ones that make perfect sense somewhere along the conversation, but alone, they are funny in themselves. Even funnier when strung with the other one-offs.
I'll be the judge of that.
All right, here we go. We're up to round six? Seven. So many of these. We could make an entire show, we'll call it the Scruples Show. And they'll get much higher ratings than the Cubby House podcast.
That record very often and we don't put out very often.
Story of my life. Better beware, be canny and careful. We've got a friend. Oh my, those men have lost their pants. What I should do is send up my own charity. Pants for porn stars. I can't work under these conditions. I hope this book has been sterilized.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Me get phone calls. I've had enough. I'm officially ready to give you your gay card. We put an end to this charade. I found what I was after.
Okay.
Butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Do the peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly and a baseball bat.
Done. Thank you. Hello. Awkward. I just did open your tweet. We're now legal.
It was that it was. It is no longer.
You sure you want to be sitting on that ball? I'm not touching it.
You are pretty fly for a white guy, Jack. With straight porn, the guys just get into it.
What's your love song dedication, Sydney?
Oh yeah, it's why I do stuff now, sorry. Well then, do it in code. I'm a bogan, I don't do this shit.
Do it now.
I'm a good boy, and if you start singing Bette Midler, I'm gonna stab you in the eye with a spoon.
Is your phone on silent?
Yeah, like, why do people not read Garfield anymore? What's that all about?
What the fuck?
Momentarily burdened by feelings of... Today, I had been promoted to Capcan.
to Capkin?
You fucked up my line.
Lame. I was horny.
Well, just use your words. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
No, I look at your wager. I look at wager.
This is too cute.
No, no, forget your wager. Wager. Eat them.
Full sentence. You can do it. Kimmer.
Oh, so tempted to say Asian.
You can hear my cogs moving in my brain. And the roundup with Jack. I'm great at head. Put that on record.
This was recorded at...
You took asbestic pills, right?
Breathe.
Penis.
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 Of the indefinite depth and zero pressure.
Infinite.
As my glasses. Who would have thought that a personal lubricant would actually end up saving us from a hole of indefinite depth and zero pressure?
Infinite. Say it. Can you say infinite? I know that you can.
Dear Robert Pattinson, I cut myself just for you.
Bella can't understand you the way that I do.
Oh, I know what you mean. My boyfriend won't wash my dildos after I use them. I mean, what's that all about? You know, it's just one of those things that... Yeah, I was talking about you then.
That's a lie. That is an outright lie.
Yeah, you can't cut that bit out. But the...
Yeah, Russell, I would legitimately flag that one.
Whatever.
He started it.
Could you suck?
Yes,
I do. He does. And he gargles.
Paying for rorography.
you sound like a dog.
I was going to say, are you Scooby-Doo now? Paying for rorography.
No more bullets.
No more what?
No more bullets.
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 Just
bullets?
Elmified.
Oh.
No more bullets.
And we ain't never going to break your stride.
You ain't going to hold me down.
Oh, no.
I've got to keep on moving.
Or stop singing.
Sailed away to China, a little rowboat to find you.
Yep.
And Ryan said, I have to keep my laundry clean. I've got to iron it out. I've got to...
Wow, someone's going to get punched in a minute. So...
I've got to organize it by color.
Wow, you're an asshole. Yeah, okay. Flag now. Oh, that's it.
Not again.
Yep.
Oh, ow. What was that?
What was the dice? What does it say?
Two.
What's two?
Number two. And is there enough time to do it with the remaining time that we have?
What did you do, Cookie?
Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Ain't nothing gonna slow me down. Oh no, I've got to keep on moving. The road behind was rocky, but now you're feeling cocky. You look at me and you see the past.
What's a two?
And that's the reason why you're running so fast, you said.
Jack?
Yes?
On your knees, now.
Oh.
Ooh, this sounds like a good punishment.
And no, you don't get to move your microphone.
Oh, so I've got to keep my head tilted upwards.
Exactly, for the next 5 minutes, seeing as that's all we've got time for in our podcast.
Oh.
Confiscation of chair.
Ha ha.
You, my lovely anonymous listener... You don't get to experience me on my knees. So imagine myself on my knees, looking quite forlorn and vulnerable and expectant.
And close.
And looking at you like a dog looks at a ceiling fan. Yes.
And last but not least, our tale of Prince Orsino. Paul Ryan, who had to live read the bulk of 12 pages of text. No wonder he curses so often.
I want to put like a disclaimer on this. Something like, I'm sorry, Mum. And a studded leather cockpiece. Cod piece, maybe. And a studded... Fucking Jesus. No, it reminds me of... Are you being served?
Yes.
Menswear. Oh, hello, mother.
Oh, God, the outtakes from this are going to be horrible.
I can do a whole remix.
Jay Neal, I fucking hate you. Acknowledging his faithful prince, Prince Orsino waved and smiling.
Faithful people.
What did I say?
Prince.
Prince.
Ah, whatever. And since you are a priss.
A priss. A prissy bottom.
It'll work perfectly.
Well, let's go.
It's like 90% of the population on Bear WWW. So Butch was startled by this deficit. I said that right.
Deficit. Yeah.
I need to read more. I know.
We like you big and dumb, it's okay.
I know, I'll start with Spot goes to the zoo. Whatever. Fucking blow. It's the same thing.
He's a romantic.
Oh, am I the knight as well?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why it's romantic.
Fucking hell. Fucking Jesus.
Second part
we
of the
need,
sentence.
Like, one syllable or less when this guy writes. For more than an hour, he loosened the prince, whose moans grew louder and whose cock grew harder, which each with each... There, for fuck's sake. I'll never do porn.
You don't need to talk that much when you're
well, I'm... Thank fuck for that. We should be recording this so we can put it on YouTube.
Obviously, the poor guy's just a fellatio bottom. He's not getting any. Meanwhile, isn't that an OH&S issue?
What? I'm just,
he's naked, cutting wood with one hand.
With an erect penis.
That can't be safe.
He wasn't cutting with one hand.
He's a one-armed, the one-armed lumberjack.
That's the core of his angst.
Oh, I wasn't even listening. I'm reading this shit out and I'm not even paying attention to
it's
it.
Safer that way.
I'm going blah, blah, blah while my head's going, I really should get some coffee or something on the way home.
Thank fucker at the last page.
Well, next time I come, well, if I get to come next time, I'll bring my own toys.
There you go.
Okay, you've heard the funny stuff. Now let's listen to the final production of Prince Orsino.
You are listening to A Bedtime Story. You can read along with me in your book. You will know when it's time to turn the page when you hear the chime ring like this. Let's begin now. Come over here. Lie down so that I can groom your fur.
That's good. Yeah, tell me a story.
What kind of story?
Bedtime story, of course.
Once upon a time, far, far... Ow!
No, not that kind of story. A proper bedtime story.
Far, far away, there lived a handsome prince at the edge of an enchanted forest.
Was he a bear?
He certainly was. A big, beautiful prince with a big, beautiful brown beard and a big, beautiful belly all covered with fur. You see, he lived in an ancient time where all the beautiful and important people were husky and hairy.
What was his name?
His name was Orsino. Now, Prince Orsino was a good prince, much beloved by his subjects. He had the most beautiful smile too, and whenever he smiled, the sun would shine all day long and the people would be happy and dance merrily. But lately, the villagers had begun to worry. Prince Orsino had not smiled in many, many months. He just moped around his castle all the time, looking sad. Because of this, it had been cloudy and rainy every day for many, many months, and the people were getting tired of it. Since it meant that instead of spending their time dancing merrily, they had to stay inside and do paperwork, they started gathering in the rain outside the castle to shake their heads at the sad spectacle and whisper about their situation. Soon there were so many people gathered that their whispering grew very loud, and Prince Orsino came out to the portcullis to see what was going on. When they saw him, the people cried out,
"Oh, most beloved Prince Orsino, why are you so sad all the time? Please smile so that the sun will shine and we can dance merrily instead of having to do this paperwork crap."
The prince addressed his people.
"People, although I love each of you with all my heart, I cannot smile, for I am very sad."
The people nodded their heads and made sympathetic noises.
"As you know,"
the prince continued,
"I am one of an age where the people of our land take a mate to live with them and work at their side. Alas, I have found no mate with whom I might form a loving relationship, and because of this, I am sad."
After the prince went back inside out of the rain, the people discussed this turn of events. They convinced themselves that the problem with their prince was basically a lack of sex. So they came up with a plan to correct that. Certain that there would be sunshine the next day, they slept peacefully, despite the sound of heavy rain on their cottage roofs. The next morning, the village cooper arrived at the castle with his older son, John, and knocked at the portcullis. When the prince appeared, Mr. Cooper presented his son.
"Beloved prince, this is my oldest son, John. As you can see, he is a healthy, robust boy with a broad, hairy chest and strong, muscled arms from working the iron bands for our barrels. Beneath his full black beard, he has most of his teeth, but his mouth is large enough that they don't scrape. Aye, as in any the village will tell ye, John here is his father's pride and the best cocksucker for many days' walk. Sire, accept his willingness to serve ye. Enjoy his welcoming mouth and skillful tongue, so that the sun might shine again."
Prince Orsino was touched by Mr. Cooper's gesture, and on behalf of the village, he felt sure that John Cooper's talent would not lift the cloud casting its shadow over his heart. But the young man was attractive, and a good blowjob couldn't hurt anything, so he welcomed the young Cooper into the castle. John Cooper was eager to please, and in no time he had taken off his homespun clothes and stood naked before the prince. Orsino ran his hands over the Cooper's thick arm muscles and down his broad hairy chest. He was about to admire Cooper's large balls and already stiff dick, but before he had a chance, Cooper had removed the prince's codpiece and buried his bearded face in the prince's crotch. Cooper's talented tongue, wet lips, and warm, receptive mouth entertained the prince's dick while his beard tickled and caressed the prince's balls. Orsino succumbed to Cooper's ministrations, drawn along by the sight, sound, and sensation of the tongue bath his dick was receiving. Cooper held on tightly to Orsino's butt and increased the pace of his oral therapy. Soon, the prince felt a rising urgency within him, and he exploded into a gushing climax. Some moments passed when he was able to breathe again and collect his thoughts. Orsino looked down at John Cooper's smiling face. As Mr. Cooper had promised, the young man was a very talented cocksucker. Indeed, this was the best blowjob the prince had ever had. But still, his heart was heavy. His lasting happiness was not to be found here. He was grateful and thanked young Cooper for his sincere efforts, but regretfully sent him home. The entire village was disappointed to see John Cooper return among them. He related his tale, and the villagers all agreed that he had given the best blowjob ever. But still, the problem remained. Oh, what to do? Many of the villagers stayed up all night trying to think of something that might cause the prince to smile again. The next morning, the village miller arrived at the castle with his twin sons and knocked at the portcullis. When the prince appeared, Mr. Miller presented them.
Beloved prince, these are my two sons, good men both. As ye can see, they are finely furred with beautiful asses that they get from working with the milling stones. Please overlook the misfortune of being born twins with identical appearance. Unfortunately, both have fiery red hair from the top of their heads to their very toes. But this does not prevent their having the finest assholes for fucking in the entire village. Sire, accept their willingness to serve you. Enjoy their asses, so that the sun may shine again.
Prince Orsino was touched by Mr. Miller's gesture. On behalf of the village, it still seemed unlikely that the Miller twins could lift his heart's burden. But they did have the most beautifully shaped asses, and a good fuck couldn't hurt anything, so he welcomed them into the castle. The Miller twins were very eager to please, and in no time had removed each other's clothing and stood naked before the prince. Orsino admired their firm, round asses and agreed with Mr. Miller that the fiery red hair covering every part of their bodies was no detriment. Orsino was about to express his appreciation for their rigidly identical dicks when he found his codpiece removed, and the Miller twins bending over before him, presenting their hairy, hidden treasures for him to plunder. Momentarily burdened by feelings of noblesse oblige, the prince was nevertheless aroused by the inviting sight before him, and his dick grew hard. He slowly pushed it into the asshole of the first twin and enjoyed the warm, firm stimulation as he moved in and out. After a few minutes, he turned his attention to the asshole of the second twin and was a bit surprised that the Miller twins felt as identical on the inside as they looked on the outside. While he worked the asshole of one twin with his dick, he worked the asshole of the other with his finger, so they might enjoy the experience equally. As he increased the pace of his fucking, both twins seemed to breathe faster and moan louder, all the while pushing their asses to meet his increasingly rapid thrusts. It wasn't much longer before Orsino felt the irrepressible rising urgency within him, and his explosive climax was met with the loud grunts and simultaneous ejaculations from the Miller twins. After he was able to breathe again and collect his thoughts, Orsino looked with melancholy at the red-furred asses of the twins and pulled both men up to face him. As Mr. Miller had promised, they were remarkable fucks, undoubtedly the best in the village, despite their being twins. And yet, the prince's heart felt empty and cold. He knew that his true and lasting happiness lay elsewhere. He was grateful for the Miller twins, and he thanked them for their sincere efforts and then sent them home.
I must be the prince in this story. I'm husky, I'm hairy, and I get to fuck all the men in the village, right?
Yeah, we'll see about that. Anyway, since the village had high hopes for the Miller twins, they were undoubtedly disappointed to see the twins return. The twins told their tale and all agreed that they had given the prince the best fuck ever, but still, it rained. The people were starting to feel desperate, for they were running out of ideas to try. They thought and thought and thought and still it rained. So it was 3 days past when the Miller twins arrived at the castle with their father, the miller,
and knocked at the portcullis. When the prince appeared, the Miller twins presented their father to him.
Beloved prince, this is our father, a loyal servant of yours despite his deviant sexual desires. Although he is now aged beyond 40 years and his beard and hair have mostly turned white, he remains the kinkiest man in the village. Sire, please accept our father's willingness to serve you. Tie him up, whip him, piss on him, pierce his skin, and perform unspeakable acts with his naked body so that the sun may shine again.
Prince Orsino was touched by the Miller twins' gesture on behalf of their village, but he was beginning to feel that enough might be enough. He felt certain that Mr. Miller's total submission wouldn't do much to lift his own spirits. However, since the silvery hair that seemed to cover Mr. Miller's entire body aroused his curiosity, he welcomed him into the castle. He called for servants to take Mr. Miller to the dungeon where they were to chain him up naked to its damp, cold stone walls. The prince was about to change into his leathers and fetch his whip when he suddenly overcame by wariness at the futility of his search for a companion. Although he felt guilty at neglecting his responsibilities, he called again for his servants and instructed them to go to Mr. Miller in the dungeon to whip him, piss on him, pierce his skin, and perform unspeakable acts upon his naked hairy body. Meanwhile, the prince might go for a walk in the enchanted forest and consider his plight. The prince walked and walked, lost in thought, when he encountered a one-armed woodcutter in a clearing cutting wood. The woodcutter was big and husky, with bulging muscles from a lifetime of cutting wood, and like the wild man he was, he had long, wild hair and a long, wild beard, and his whole body was covered with hair, and he had an enormous dick.
How could you tell how big his dick was?
Because it was an enchanted forest and he was completely naked. So anyway, the woodcutter worked, swinging his axe, while his enormous rock-hard dick and equally enormous balls swung in rhythm. This attracted the attention of the prince, who stopped to talk.
Greetings, naked hairy woodcutter. How goes your work?
The woodcutter paused and leaned on his axe.
The woodcutting goes well enough for such a pointless activity, but it never stops raining and my mood is as gloomy as the weather because I can't give myself a proper hand job with just one arm.
The prince asked how he lost his arm and the woodcutter answered,
I once met a creature who asked a riddle I could not answer. What walks on 3 legs in its youth, 4 legs in its maturity and 2 legs in its old age?
After a bit of thought, Orsino agreed that it was indeed a difficult riddle. Then he turned to walk away. The woodcutter yelled,
Halt!
And raised high his axe.
Now that you have heard the riddle, you must answer it or forfeit your head to a deft swing of my axe, unless you'd rather give me a blowjob.
The prince considered his options, first looking at the woodcutter's enormous axe, then at the woodcutter's enormous dick. He dropped to his knees, grabbed the hard dick in front of his face, and held it up against the man's hairy belly, so that he might admire the beautiful pair of balls in front of his nose. Then he licked and sucked with delight until the woodcutter began to squirm. Unable to subdue his appetite any longer, Orsino began licking and sucking the woodcutter's dick with frenzied abandon. Just then, while Orsino was fully absorbed in cocksucking and the woodcutter was distracted by his approaching orgasm, a knight rode into the clearing on his giant stallion. Sir Butch, for that was his name, wore strange armour that resembled leather chaps, a harness, and a studded leather codpiece. When he recognised the figure of the prince, he became indignant at the degradation that Orsino had been forced to suffer. In his fury, Sir Butch drew his sword and with one stroke sliced off the woodcutter's head, just as the woodcutter began to shoot cum all over Orsino's face. Surprised at this development, the prince looked up at the knight.
Good knight, I thank you for your assistance in my time of need, but whence your haste? Now I shall never know the answer to the woodcutter's riddle.
The knight dismounted and bowed before the prince.
Good prince, I am Sir Butch, of the neighbouring realm. I chanced upon your dreadful predicament, and seeing the humiliation you were forced to suffer, I was filled with rage and determined to punish the woodcutter on the spot.
Orsino stood back and looked at the knight over with growing interest. Certainly, the leather armour was appealing, and the way that Sir's chest hair poked out around his harness was provocative. A thought came to mind.
Sir Butch, I appreciate your candour and your bravery, and I find your aspect most pleasant to look upon, particularly the chest hair that pokes out around your harness. I, myself, am looking for a mate to share my life. Are you already spoken for?
Looking upon the prince's big, beautiful brown beard and big, beautiful belly, undoubtedly all covered with fur, the knight wanted to accept, but he couldn't.
Alas, my prince, it cannot be. I am strictly a top, And since you are a prince, and therefore could not be a bottom, we would face a lifetime of frustration.
The look of confusion on Orsino's face masked his deep disappointment.
I do not see an obstacle. Pray, sir, what is this top and bottom you speak of?
Sir Butch was startled by this deficit in the prince's knowledge.
When I make love with the man of my choice, I put my dick in his mouth for him to suck, and into his asshole for me to fuck. I am the top, and he is the bottom.
The prince reflected on the knight's words, and saw a glimmer of hope. He explained to Sir that already he was forced to suck the woodcutter's cock, and he had rather enjoyed it. Only, he didn't smile because he feared for his life. He went on to suggest that the thought of him being fucked by Sir Butch was starting to arouse him. Sir Butch gracefully accepted Prince Orsino's invitation. They searched until they found a dry spot under a tree where Sir lovingly removed the prince's clothing and admired his big, beautiful belly, which was indeed covered with fur. They fell into each other's arms and kissed with an intensity that neither had ever known. After some time, Orsino removed Sir's studded codpiece and felt a great happiness at the sight, which he expressed by drawing Sir's dick completely into his mouth and swallowing it, to the evident delight of the knight. The prince continued his own enjoyment, and he noticed that Sir was perilously close to climax. Orsino looked into Butcher's eyes, and the knight understood that the time had come to fuck the prince. Being a very tender lover, Sir Butch laid him on his back onto the ground, wet his fingers, and inserted first one, then two fingers into Orsino's willing but tight asshole. For more than an hour, he loosened the prince, whose moans grew louder and whose cocks grew harder with each thrust. When he judged that the time was right, Sir Butch withdrew his fingers and inserted his dick into the prince's receptive asshole. To the tune of Orsino's ever louder cries of delight and encouragement, Sir's initially measured thrust gave way to their mounting passion. Time stopped until Sir noticed that he was again approaching his climax. Sir moved his face down to kiss the prince, and just as he came in great waves inside the prince, Orsino himself experienced an orgasm unlike he had ever experienced. As they lay heaving for breath with bodies entwined, Prince Orsino felt an unknown lightness in his soul and contentment in his heart, and he smiled with overwhelming joy to realize his destiny is a bottom with Sir Butch, his top. Noticing that the rain suddenly stopped, he looked up and saw the sun break through the clouds. Prince Orsino took Sir Butch's hand and they walked back to the castle, slowed in their progress by frequent stops for kissing. As the sun was beginning to set, they emerged from the enchanted forest and were greeted by the people of the village, dancing and cheering and throwing paperwork into the air. Acknowledging his faithful people, Prince Orsino waved and smiled his beautiful smile, then introduced Sir Butch, his new mate. As the cheering resumed, the prince led his knight to the castle, where they lived together and came happily ever after.
Wait a minute. What was the answer to the riddle? Are you saying that the prince was really a bottom all the time?
Roll over, my prince, and let's start finding out.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Woo!
And that's all we've got time for on this show of the Cubby House podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and please look out for our next debate, which we'll be discussing if we should stand by our queens, held at the Glasshouse as part of the Midsummer Festival. If you'd like to contact us at any time, you can check out our website, www.thecubbyhouse.net.au, and you can also email us at thepodcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. Hope you have fun, and catch you next show. Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.